Welcome to Hometown Highlights, where we sit down with professionals, business owners, and community members. There are so many unique and incredible stories in the individuals and businesses that surround us every day. Here on Hometown Highlights, we bring attention to these stories and bring them to the spotlight. We also want to thank our sponsors at Hitchings Insurance. We appreciate their support in creating this podcast. Now, let's jump into the conversation. Welcome to Hometown Highlights, where we sit down with professionals, business owners, and community members. There are so many unique and incredible stories in the individuals and businesses that surround us every day. Here on Hometown Highlights, we bring attention to these stories and bring them to the spotlight. We also want to thank our sponsors at Hitchings Insurance. We appreciate their support in creating this podcast. Now, let's jump into the conversation.
Hello and welcome to the Hometown Highlights podcast. I'm your co-host, Dom Fry, the insurance guy, here with the man, the myth, the legend, Ryan Pessel. Ryan, how are we doing today?
I'm doing great, Dom. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, we are really excited about today's episode and the guest that we have on. But before we get into that introduction, I just want to briefly share our heart for this podcast and, you know, kind of what our goal is with the Hometown Highlights podcast. And our goal is just to, you know, be able to highlight and to provide a spotlight for those businesses, those individuals, those community events, which are, you know, doing tremendous things. And there's so many great stories that surround us in our everyday life. And our goal on this podcast is to provide a platform for those individuals and businesses to, you know, share their story and how they are making a positive impact for their community. So let's introduce our guest for today. So our guest is a Findlay native, and she received her bachelor's degree from the University of Findlay in 2014. She was also a graduate of the Joanne Davidson Ohio Leadership Institute, and for 5 years, she was the director of business and physician development for Pain Management Group. Today, she's married to her lovely husband, Tyler. She is a member of the Findlay Family YMCA Board of Directors and the mayor of Findlay, which was named the top micropolitan for the 7th year in a row from Site Selection magazine. Let's welcome Mayor Christina Mern. Mayor Mern, how are you doing today?
I am doing great. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. We are excited to have you on and honored. You know, you have, I'm sure, a tight schedule, so honored that you would spend your time to, you know, be able to jump on the show and just talk a little bit about yourself and also about the city of Findlay and, you know, just the cool things that are going on here.
My pleasure. It's always nice to have a little bit of fun to break up the monotony of, you know, sitting in meetings and phone calls. So I appreciate it.
Awesome. Well, let's just jump into a couple, you know, small kind of icebreaker questions just to get to know you just a little bit better. So the first question, kind of an important decision, you know, something that we use regularly all the time is our cell phones. So are you an Apple or an Android person?
I am an Apple person.
Are you like Apple everything or just team iPhone?
You know what? I, for personal use, have Apple everything. And that's been for a while. But with work, I have utilized Microsoft products for a number of years. But personally, I prefer Apple. I like their platform and interface and how everything integrates from, you know, product to product very well. So, but I think to each their own, for sure.
Fair enough. And next question for you, Mayor Mern, is are you a morning or a night person?
Oh, goodness. I would say I'm probably a little bit more of a night person, but my husband has broke me of that a little bit because he is totally a morning person. And so when we got married, you know, almost 7 years ago, I tried to make a commitment that we would always like go to bed together because otherwise I would just stay up, you know, all night long. And so that has helped me like go to bed at a reasonable time. So I would say like I'm pretty good balance, you know, to bed at 11 and up at 6. So I think that's like a good balance.
Nice. And then also, what is a fun fact about yourself that most people do not know?
I love to sing. I grew up singing in choir and show choir and at church and competitions and recitals. So I love to sing, and that's a very relaxing thing for me as well. But I don't get to do it quite as much these days.
Wow, that's really cool. So you said show choir. Where did you go to high school?
So I'm Finley born and raised. So I did go to Finley High School.
Did you?
I was in Voices and Perfection, so the freshman show choir, but I was not in Finley First Edition. I was involved with a lot of other things and didn't participate in FFE.
No, that's fair enough. That's good information. Awesome. So let's get into who you are and how you got to where you are today. Can you just give us a 2-minute rundown or a story of yourself and bring us up to where you sit today as mayor of Findlay, Ohio?
I would be happy to try to condense my life into 2 minutes. And I would say my life got a lot easier when I realized, I'm a person of faith. And so allowing God to just kind of give me direction, and I'm a little bit of a control person, so that was hard. But when I recognized that he would open the right doors at the right times, that was very freeing. So Finley born and raised. I'm the third of 4 girls. And my parents were divorced when I was about 6 years old, and both remarried. And then my father actually passed away quite suddenly from a brain aneurysm in 2003. So that obviously shapes a lot of who I am and who you are when you experience something like that in your life. And I would say it gives me a lot of perspective on what's important. And went through life in Findlay City Schools, decided to go to the University of Findlay because it was, one, a great university. But two, I was paying for my own school. So I was able to live at home and pay for school as I went and get a lot of great scholarships locally to be able to fund my education. Majored in economics and marketing and a minored in finance. So very analytical process mind person with the marketing on how do you communicate and help lead folks to a decision or a certain action and help them understand the story and reasoning behind what you're doing. While in college, I did a couple of different internships, but then was approached by a company called Pain Management Group, which was a small kind of startup business still at that point. And Pain Management Group was a company that partnered with hospitals to run outpatient pain management centers. So, the opioid crisis was really taking over in the late 2000s and 2010 realm. And I think in 2008 is when Pain Management Group really kind of was formed formally. So I joined their team in 2013, served in a number of different roles, but then left there, obviously, when I was approached to run for mayor. And, my family always jokes that they're not surprised that I became mayor because I was the informal mayor anyways. I have always been very dedicated to Findlay and probably the biggest cheerleader and involved in the Republican Party and a number of different kind of community organizations, whether it be nonprofits or, city government, downtown Findlay Improvement District, but just wanted to be able to give back. And when now Director Mihalik, former Mayor Lydia Mihalik, took the position at the state level, was approached by a group of folks who felt like I would really be able to continue the positive direction that the city of Findlay was going in, and asked if I was interested in serving as mayor. So was appointed at the end of February 2019, and then had to immediately run for election in May and then November of 2019, and won that election to start my own term in 2020. And so I'm really just starting my kind of second year formally of my term, which is a 4-year term. And obviously it's been a crazy year to be leading a community, but I feel so blessed and grateful that we have such a fantastic community that I'm able to help lead through these challenging times. So that was probably a little over 2 minutes, but hopefully a good synopsis.
No, that's great to bring us present. It's really incredible, your story. You know, 5 years in the private sector, and then you go into essentially the top position in the city of Findlay, which is a town. I mean, we're at what, 43,000 plus people.
Yeah.
I mean, what we know, coronavirus is a huge challenge. Outside of that, what has been the toughest thing for you and your role as you started this position?
I would say the most challenging part of my role right now is the overall divisiveness within. Everyone has opinions about everything, which is great. We want people to have opinions. We want diverse thought. We want to have a diverse community. But I think part of the challenging part of being the mayor of a community is that I think you could have somebody come in and just do the day-to-day operations and they would do a fine job. But I think what our community deserves is a leader and someone who's willing to have tough conversations, who's willing to put themselves out there. And that's, you know, my goal is I want to impact our citizens in a positive manner, not just through the services that they receive, you know, living within the city, but as a leader, as a community, how can I help our citizens be better people every day? And I know that that's kind of like an abstract, big picture thing, but mm-hmm. That's my passion, is helping people. And so that's what I try to do. And I joke with folks that I may not have biological children of my own at this point in life, but I feel like I have 43,000 children, and that's not demeaning to them. That's like, I care so deeply about our citizens in this community that they are my family. And so that is challenging when we've been through so much, you know, whether it be the pandemic or political division or, you know, just the economic uncertainty or the political unrest and racial unrest and, you know, some of the scandals that happened within our community last year. That's been challenging to help folks through that.
Yeah, that's interesting. Do you find, you know, the division, is it a lot of truly opinions, like people acting without facts? Like, do you run into that quite a bit in your position?
You know, a little bit. There is definitely a lot of misinformation out there. And when I talk to individuals, you know, on with varying viewpoints about information and this discussion around fake news, one of the things I tell folks is, yeah, there is some like blatantly false news out there. But more so what I see is a misrepresentation of the facts. And so you could have a headline that says, this is a touchy subject, but I'm just going to use a real life example. You know, somebody sent me an article a couple weeks ago that said, you know, the COVID vaccine is causing miscarriages. And I opened up the article or it said, you know, miscarriages reported following vaccine, you know, 29 or something like that. And I went and I looked at the article and the article was factual. But then when I clicked on the information from the CDC and actually went through and read the study, they showed, you know, they're closely tracking that data. And yes, there were miscarriages and a number of folks who had received pregnant women who had received the vaccine, but it was actually overall a lower percentage than what they're seeing in comparison to folks that did not receive the vaccine. And so it was factual information, but it was represented in a way that caused fear and misinformation, because when you initially read it, it made individuals reading it think that the vaccine would cause miscarriages, and that's not what the data shows. So I would say it's very challenging to encourage folks to go back to our elementary school education on checking your facts, understanding the data, and knowing your sources, because that takes time. and mm-hmm. it's very easy to just kind of read headlines or skim an article and take it as fact when it could very easily not be.
Yeah, that's really good advice, especially from someone in your position you have to dig in and you have to know the facts because you're in a position of power and you have to make sure that what you're putting out is true. So,
yeah,
you know, like you can't make a mistake and have an opinion. You have to use factual data.
Right. And you know what, the most challenging part of any relationship, whether it be large scale or, you know, in one-on-one relationships, is communication. And communication is extremely challenging because you can't just communicate in the way that is comfortable for you, but you have to communicate in the manner in which folks are going to receive that message. And someone can hear, two people can sit next to side to side, and I can share a message, and those folks are both going to walk away with different interpretations of what I just said. So communication is super challenging. That's one of the things that I spend the majority of my time on, and dealing with these very complex topics is challenging, but it's also extremely important. And so I'm happy to try, you know, to evolve that every single day and try to get better at it and you know that it is for the benefit of our community to get that information out there.
Yeah. I don't think love for Finley is in question for you. Obviously born and raised here, went to Finley High School, Finley Grade School, UF. I mean, it goes on and on. You're born and raised here. So I don't think there's any question of where your heart's at. I guess one thing, what has been most surprising to you, or a job task that you didn't have any idea about until you sat in the chair of being mayor of Finley? What does that look like?
Oh goodness.
There has to be something that totally surprised, like what I didn't have any idea I had to do this, but here I am, I'm doing this. What is that thing?
Oh, that's a great question. There was something the other day. What was it? You know, I think it's probably just the variety of things that I deal with. You know, the thing that probably surprised me the most is, and I don't want this to be received as negative, but a lot of folks think that I control a good number of things that I don't control. So that's really challenging. But I don't know. I went in with very broad expectations, and I'm always a dig in and do whatever needs to be done type of person. And so I didn't really have expectations. There aren't things that I'm not willing to do or that I wasn't ready, prepared to do. I would say probably what surprised me the most is just the broad spectrum of things I get calls about, or, you know, even just the reality of what I'm responsible for. Obviously, you know, I have learned a ton about pandemics, which I wasn't expecting, but I've also learned a ton about, you know, wastewater systems and making sure that your toilet flushes and how our system processes that, and EPA requirements on stormwater discharge, and, you know, what type of preferences our police officers have on their different uniforms, and how much a fire truck costs. So
awesome.
But I love it. I am somebody who gets bored easily. So being able to do all of those different things is part of the fun.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, you just kind of touched briefly on like three different, you know, sewer, police, fire. There's so much that goes into a municipality that most people just don't think about. Like, there is so much going on. I mean, how many employees does the city of Finley have, roughly?
Right around 350.
Yeah, 350. I mean, that's a big organization.
It is.
And then you look at, you know, what incomes of what, 30, 32, 33 million, roughly, as far as revenues for the city?
That's really just our income tax revenue. So water and sewer, I think our water, sewer, our total revenue is about 61 million.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're talking to, you know, this is a big deal that you're, you know, you're sitting on top of, you know, and it's funny to hear you say like how people just, so this is the mayor. She's in charge of everything is how they paint this picture of you. Like, it's so true. Like when you talk to people, they just think, you know, that you can go and write some order and magically it's fixed or it's changed. But, you know, you've got the safety, you know, you've got the service director, you've got the law director, you've got all these different positions and layers that have expertise to make a municipality go. Yeah. So it's interesting to hear you, you know, that's one of the things that really surprised you the most. That's very cool.
Yeah. And I enjoy it because I always tell people I'm accessible. I want people to call me with their questions and stuff. And I try to just be very transparent with them. If somebody calls me and is complaining, oh, I know one of the things. I had an individual call me the other day and say that they were upset because a business was going out of business and they had a gift card that they wanted to use and the business was no longer honoring gift cards because mm-hmm. they were closing the store. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, it's a private business. Like right. I don't have any control over the business operations. You know, there's no law restricting them from doing that. They probably put out a public notice. You know, I would encourage you to call the corporate office and, you know, voice your concerns. I'm like, but I'm not in the business of controlling private businesses. So that's probably one of the challenging things.
Yeah, that's understandable. Let's talk about some of the stuff you've implemented. I think you didn't just recently. There's a new newsletter that's going out.
Yes, I need to get it sent out here soon.
What can you talk about? What is the purpose of it? What are you? I assume it's for transparency, but what type of information are you going to be including in it?
Yeah, so there was really kind of three reasons that I wanted to do the newsletter. One. Is to reiterate some of the things that are going on that it's easy for folks to miss. So a lot of it's not glamorous, but you know, what budget items did council just pass? What committees are there for community members to get involved with? The other thing is I wanted to be able to recognize some of our citizens more often. And then the third is recognizing that there's a growing population who really doesn't listen to the radio. They don't get the newspaper. They may not be largely on social media, perhaps, you know, Facebook, but an email to their inbox once a month at least gets them connected. And I also want to encourage folks through that to then share information with the city. So on our website, you can report a problem. It could be anything from a pothole to a light, a street light not working properly, to an issue with a neighbor, you know, having trash on their front yard, you know, on their front lawn. And we can't drive the entire community every single day. And so the best way for us to resolve those issues is by folks reporting them to us. And so I just wanted to remind the community of those different channels and get that back in front of them and let them know things that are going on and where they can find resources, whether it be through HancockHelps.org, you know, for resources such as, you know, mental health screenings or addiction issues, or utility support, or things like, hey, there are events coming up. There's a community calendar that we have. You know, make sure your events are on that community calendar if you're hosting one. And if not, you know, if you're just looking for things to do this weekend, check that out. So it's really just reiterating that message and recognizing everyone has to hear a message 7 times before they truly like remember it. So how can we continue to reiterate that message of, hey, we are here, share your issues so that we can fix them. We want you to engage in our community and we want to hear from you and help. You know, how can we help?
Yeah, I like the direction of that. I like that it's you know, it goes both ways. A, you're giving information, but you're also asking for ways to improve the city.
Yeah.
What else could you ask for in a piece of content? You know what I mean? So that's awesome to hear. When is the when do you plan to have that launched, or when is that set to start?
You know what? I wanted to have it out a couple weeks ago. Clearly that has not happened. I would say probably early April.
Early April. That's fair.
Yeah. Yeah, since early April is, you know, next Thursday. So maybe next week.
Hey, the easiest way to get something is done to get something done is to set a deadline. So
exactly.
We'll hold you to that. Okay.
Okay. That's good. Yes. Call me in and follow up with me, because that's the only other problem is the deadline is set by me and monitored by me. So
that's
you
right.
Also have
that's
to have
right.
Accountability, right?
That's right. Only kidding. No, that sounds really good. Another thing that, you know, I don't know if this is specifically something that you've done or if it was in the works prior to you being there, but is the focus on outdoor recreation and some of the safety things. So things such as like the bike path and the bike creation. What is that, an initiative that was driven by you or by an organization or just something that has been talked about in the city for a number of years? Like, what does that look like? What is our goals there as the city of Findlay?
Yeah, it's been a little bit of both. So in, I think it was 2017, there was an organization called the Hancock Handlebars Association. And it was primarily, you know, bike riders that would get together on a regular basis. And they worked in coordination with the Hancock Park District and kind of put together a trails plan. So the city of Findlay had been really focusing on trying to create connectivity between some of the paths that we have already in place. And so a number of the projects like Blanchard Street, that was already on the table. I just made sure that we continued to move forward with it. And really that project, you know, the bike lanes were an added benefit of that project. They were not the sole focus. Really having the left turn lanes at those intersections was the main focus there to create a safer environment, especially at Sandusky and Blanchard. But I'm a big proponent of recreation and safety, and certainly COVID continued to emphasize that. But I think it's a lot about creating safe environments for folks to live healthier lives. And I recognize that Findlay is a pretty flat, not super geographically interest community. And so we have to take additional steps to create recreational opportunity. And so one of the areas we've been trying to work on is really moving forward that previous plan, being intentional about how we make sure everyone has access within their neighborhood, easily accessible to parks, trying to encourage young people and, you know, our citizens in general to recognize what recreation opportunities they do have within the community, because I think that's one thing we have not been great about is promoting our parks and recreation. And we have beautiful parks. You know, I know a lot of folks had never, for example, gone to Zonta Landing at Riverside Park and rented kayaks or canoes to go down the Blanchard River. And if you haven't done that, you should. You know, it's a small cost. It's a beautiful experience. It's great fitness. It's something that the whole family can do. And you have a completely different perspective of our community and the river. You know, that's one thing that I hate is the Blanchard River has taken such a bad rap because, you know, it floods on us, but we're getting that fixed. But it's also a beautiful amenity in our community. So how do we make sure that we are promoting that and utilizing that more effectively?
Yeah, I mean, the Blanchard, it's kind of been this black widow in Findlay since 2007, 2008, when we had the two major floods. But you're right. Most people don't even know about the Zonta Landing and being able to kayak and canoe down the river. So really, you know, part of that newsletter is, hey, did you know? And teaming exactly. up with the Hancock Park District and utilizing, I mean, they have some really, really beautiful trail systems and parks, and people don't even, I would almost guarantee you that 85% of the people in the city of Findlay don't know that they have a park out on 243 in Arcadia, Ohio, that has elevation changes and outdoor trail systems.
Yeah.
I guarantee that people don't even know it exists.
Right.
You know, you can get over to like the Litzenberg area. They've got a beautiful trail system in there that you can walk. There's so much you can do, and it's not right in downtown Findlay, but you know, it's within what, 10, 15 minute drive. It's in Hancock County. Exactly. So there's no point to not let people know about it. I love the aspect of recreation and getting people and families outside and outdoors together. I think it's a really cool piece. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and one of the things, you know, we want to achieve is one of my goals, and one of the things that I'm really trying to promote is the city of Findlay can't work in a silo of the city of Findlay. How do we connect our trails out to Riverbend, out to Lipsenburg, out to those different places, recognizing that we want to create safe environments for citizens to be able to travel out to that. Like, instead of that, you know, 10-minute car ride, how can you hop on your bike, ride out there safely, mm-hmm. walk the trails, ride the trails, have a picnic lunch, you know, drive back down, and then stop in downtown Findlay for dinner? You know, how can we create that environment that provides those opportunities for individuals to enjoy the recreation? And that's not just important for our current citizens, but as we grow as a community, how do we make sure that this is a place that others want to live? And how do we, you know, attract and retain a young workforce that's more of an important thing that they're looking for when they're looking for a community to reside in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely an important piece to think about and consider. Not only, yeah, today's citizens of, you know, of the area, but the future, you know, how, what does that workforce look like? What do they need? How's it, you know, how are things going to change? So those are cool goals. Another thing you had mentioned along with recreation was safety.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about the mobile health clinic and what's the objective and goals there. Is that still something that's being considered?
Yes. So the mobile health clinic was an item that has been really investigated over the last, 3-5 years. And the Rotary Club of Findlay had really committed to making that happen after conversations with Hancock Public Health and the hospital. So they were really helping lead, trying to fundraise for that. And they were able to make a significant contribution towards the purchase of that. However, needing it sooner rather than later, Hancock Public Health approached the Hancock County Commissioners, the City of Findlay, and the hospital to help facilitate getting that purchased and up and operational. The goal of the mobile health clinic is really two things. Obviously, the primary goal is to get our community healthier. And we do every 3 years a community health assessment. The last community health assessment was completed in 2018, so we'll be doing one here in the near future. And that community health assessment looks at, it's like a couple hundred pages. It's probably right around 200 pages, maybe slightly less than, document that does a survey of all different populations, all age groups, and it looks at health measures for healthcare accessibility, insurance, different health measures, smoking, alcohol use, obesity, you know, heart and lung conditions, activity level, a lot of different things. And what was identified was that we still have a good portion of our community that, for whatever reason, one of them being transportation, is not getting plugged into the healthcare system until there is an emergent situation. And my background is healthcare, and you know, it's no surprise to anyone that an emergency situation is much more costly than preventative care. And so what we wanted to do is say, how can we identify health issues within our population and get folks the care they need with preventative care sooner than when they have an emergency situation? So for example, cholesterol screenings or diabetes screenings to help someone not have a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
And reports and studies show that ease of access is one of the key items. And what the recommendation was is, how can we make it easy where the mobile health clinic could show up at a business and do health screenings on site? How could the mobile health clinic, you know, a clinic go to a school and do scoliosis checks for some of the, you know, county schools that don't have nurses on site? How can we get out to a mobile food pantry, you know, a food pantry location that sets up shop, you know, twice a month in one of our, you know, communities, villages, whatever it may be, and also do flu vaccinations or also do cholesterol screenings? And by the way, the health department has individuals on staff that can do that initial screening, say, hey, you have this issue. Do you have insurance? No, I don't have insurance. Okay, here are the insurances you qualify, whether it be Medicaid, Medicare, insurance through the Affordable Care Act. And they will do the paperwork with them, get them set up, and then follow up with them to say, hey, you know, here are some physicians accepting primary care patients right now that can help you. Have you made an appointment? No. Okay. Can we help you make an appointment? And so we're really doing is it's kind of wrapping around those folks to get them plugged into our healthcare system so that they are then receiving the care they need to help decrease the level of those high cost, high detriment health events that then have a huge economic impact on workforce, transportation. Health is just such an important part of everybody's lives. And so I really feel strongly that provides it's a tool in the tool chest for Hancock Public Health. And I think that they made their case that they needed that tool to be able to make the impact that they want to see in this community. And so I'm excited to see how it really plays out and how we can measure our progress as we see our community become healthier. And I think that will then also have great economic implications long term.
Yeah, that's you can clearly hear it in your voice that you're very passionate about health in general, which is good. You should be. Now, how is it? Is it privately funded? Is it publicly funded? Is it for rural community members and members of the city? Like, what are some of the logistics of it?
Yeah, so it's a countywide program. So they will set up a calendar depending on need and request going out to schools, businesses, libraries. It will travel through the county. We have 15 different townships within Hancock County, as well as in the cities and villages. So we have 15 different entities. If it just stopped at each of those, you know, once they're not even going to get to all of them twice a month. But what they're going to be able to do, the initial funding came through donations from Rotary, some private donations, Blanchard Valley Health System, the county, and the city of Findlay. And what we committed to was initial, as well as the community foundation is going to be supporting it if they have not already. And making a contribution to make the upfront purchase and fund it for approximately 2 years. So recognizing that to get it up and running, it takes a little bit of time to then be able to receive the reimbursement from the services they provide. So then ongoing cost will be covered between reimbursement from the services Hancock Public Health provides. So just as a medical office, they are able to report their activity and then receive reimbursement from Medicaid or Medicare or insurance, whatever that may be. And then also grants. A lot of what Hancock Public Health does is through state and federal funding. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that we're actually seeing a huge increase is support for mobile health clinics. So that is really the goal, to make sure it is sustainable through long-term billings and grants. And that was really the commitment that the Hancock Public Health Commissioner Kareem Baroudi made to me. I said, I can help you with additional, initial support, but I don't want this being a long-term cost that you come back to me, since I am one of the funding entities for the health department. I don't want to see an increase in my expenses long-term to cover this.
Right.
So that was really important to me. Obviously, I'm an economics major, so I want to make sure the numbers work. I think I drove Kareem a little bit crazy, especially again with my health background. I also did all of our financial performance, so I was asking him a lot of financial detail questions. But it was it's a great program that I think is going to serve us well.
Yeah, no, I think, obviously it's not only the services, but you're also, you're talking about the educational piece of getting people healthy and getting them insured or getting them the proper coverage that they need to help them. you know, I think it's a win-win for the entire community in general. So
yeah, this isn't a, we show up once, you see us, you get your shot and you never see us again. This is how can we help you make mm-hmm. sure that you are living a healthier life?
Yeah. Yeah. And it just makes for a healthier community in general. So yeah, that's really a cool thing that's in the works. I love to hear that kind of stuff. Let's talk about one more city topic if you have time, and we'll wrap this up. Something that's a little bit more upbeat and a little bit more fun. Let's talk about Dora. What is going on with the city of Findlay and what's going on with Crawford Street? I think there was a council meeting that was to discuss it and they tabled it, but I never heard the findings. I don't know if you can talk about it, but what does that look like to you, and what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so the Dora, or a designated outdoor refreshment area, has actually been approved by council. So they approved that, I think, at their March 2nd meeting. And now the next step is I have to wait 30 days, and then I can submit the final documentation to the Ohio Liquor Control Commission. Once I submit that, they will then release the updated permits to the qualifying business entities within the Dora boundaries. And what a Dora is a designated area within, in this case, downtown Findlay, from Front Street down to Lima, and then east-west boundaries are over to the Marathon Center for Performing Arts, just on the west side of that, and then east to, I think it's like Herd on the west and maybe Putnam or Factory on the east. Okay. Mm-hmm. And what it allows is patrons to have special designated cups from downtown establishments that they could have, you know, a beer, wine, you know, it doesn't have to be alcohol either, but an alcoholic beverage if they would like, and they can carry it around that downtown area without being in violations of the open container laws. So it has to be in a designated cup. They obviously have to be over 21. It doesn't negate any of the public intoxication laws, but really what it allows is flexibility a little bit for the businesses to, one, space people out. So if you're waiting for a table, you're not standing at the bar over somebody's shoulder in this post-COVID era, but you could, you know, walk around downtown while you're waiting. It also would allow for folks, if a business allows, to, you know, walk into a shop and do a little bit of shopping while you're waiting, or during art walk, you know, have a glass of wine while you walk into the art gallery. So I think it's important. I think it'll be a really cool experience. I think all the other communities that I spoke to have said it's gone off very well. They haven't seen any increases in crimes or, you know, public intoxication or DUIs or anything. That's all stuff we're going to really continue to monitor. But I think it just creates flexibility and, again, a more more flexible and inviting downtown area.
Yeah, no, I think it's neat. It reminds me of Savannah, Georgia has that. You know, obviously a different setting. It's down south, but you just go in, like, Jack and I, my wife went and we wanted to watch the container ships come through. So we stopped at one of the local Irish pubs, grabbed a beer to go, and just sat on the bench and just watched. Like, it's not, we weren't partying, we weren't rowdy, but we wanted to have a cold beverage on a summer night. So, yeah. You know, I hope people realize that it's not to create this fiasco, this Las Vegas environment. It's really, you know, it's really just to space people out right now in COVID, I think, is a huge bonus. But also just allow some of those restaurants and those bars that have been hurting to make some additional sales and get people downtown. I mean,
yeah,
what else can you ask for, you know?
Exactly. And I completely agree. I'm looking forward to it. And you know, especially in the coming years, I think it will be a really big asset as we look to develop the north side of the river following some additional benching and flood mitigation. I really hope to see that whole area be revitalized and, you know, folks to really, again, going back to seeing the river as an amenity, I would love to be able to grab a drink from a downtown establishment and, you know, or even do a takeout order and, you know, set up a picnic blanket and have mm-hmm. a picnic by the river. So those are the things that, you know, it takes a lot of kind of planning and strategic steps to get to that. But I think that in the next, you know, 3 to 5 years, we're really going to see that. And I'm excited.
Yeah, no, I think it's cool. I think it shows the diversity of this community to take on and listen to that argument of why should we have a DORA? Why do we need this in the city of Findlay? So I just think it's really neat. It's, I don't know if I would call it trendy. I mean, we're not obviously the first, you know, city to have this in place. So
not at all.
You know, we're way behind actually in some of those, but I just think with what they're doing down there on Crawford Street and Main Street, it's a really cool environment. It's becoming so much fun down there. I think once we get to post COVID, it's just really going to be a really cool addition to be able to be able to walk between places. And like you say, just go down to the river and you can have a picnic or you can sit in the gazebo and have a beer or whatever that looks like. Just, I think it's really neat.
Well, and I have a vision. This is my little vision. I've not shared it with anyone. Is, you know, I would love to, like, on a random Friday evening or a random Saturday afternoon for local musicians, like, I love violin. So let's say a violinist comes and just stands in Dorney Plaza or in front of the courthouse and starts playing their instrument, and folks are allowed to, you know, they can have their drink and walk around and sit on the bench or just stand around and talk to someone that they don't know and enjoy some music. Like, I can't wait for us to be able to come back together and, you know, I almost get back to that kind of old front porch sitting mentality, but in our downtown.
Yeah, no, I love the idea. It's just, you go to so many places outside of Ohio and you see that, you know, just like the street players, you know, on the corners and you get a lot of cool environments, you know, nice summer nights and spring and fall nights. You can get away with that stuff and you can really enjoy the outside. I like your vision, so I'm glad we heard it here first. Very, very neat.
Any local musicians heard it, you know, you're welcome downtown anytime.
Yes, just, that's awesome.
Be considerate of the businesses.
Yes, exactly. So let's, we'll start to wrap up here. I appreciate your time. I appreciate everything you've you know, kind of discussed with us. Last question, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Oh my goodness. You know what? I, at this point, am planning to run for mayor again. There are a lot of things that I'm not planning, that I don't think I'm going to be able to get accomplished in this first term, that I really want to see, you know, follow through on. But like I said early on, I'm a big believer in, you know, doors open when they're supposed to. And I will just have to see where life takes me over the next couple of years.
Well, I wasn't going to ask the direct question, but you answered it for me, so I appreciate that. Sounds like you're going to run again, which is neat. I think, you know, with where you're at age-wise, you've got so much more to do. And it sounds like you have that passion and initiative that you have more, you know, you have goals and you have things that you want to see through. So
yeah.
Really, really awesome. So Mayor Murin, I appreciate you greatly and everything you're doing for the city of Findlay. I appreciate the support that you give the citizens, the ability to listen to both sides of every argument, and continuing to make the city of Findlay move forward. So thank you for everything you do. Thank you for joining us on this podcast. We appreciate the interview and the openness. It was great to talk with you and catch up and give you maybe just a brief moment in between meetings that you could kind of relax and just talk about some things that you're passionate about. So we do appreciate that greatly.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me. And thanks for giving me the opportunity to share my heart, just like you guys are trying to do.
Yep. We appreciate that. And then we will certainly circle back with you probably a year or so from now and just check on how you're doing, what, you know, what has gone through, what changes are there. And I'd love to hear where you're at a year from now and what's going on. Hopefully we're post COVID then and we can truly get back to normalcy. We'll see what happens, but I hope we're there and I hope we can put this behind us and get back to what we consider normal, going to concerts, out, just doing all the stuff we love to do.
Exactly. I'm really excited to get back there, and please get vaccinated.
This has been the Hometown Highlights Podcast. We hope you've enjoyed this conversation. For similar interviews, you can subscribe to the podcast. Thanks again to our sponsors at Hitchings Insurance. Thanks for your time, and we look forward to the next show. This has been the Hometown Highlights Podcast. We hope you've enjoyed this conversation. For similar interviews, you can subscribe to the podcast. Thanks again to our sponsors at Hitchings Insurance. Thanks for your time, and we look forward to the next show.